Our reading this morning will be from Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. It will also be on the screen, and if you would prefer, feel free to read it audibly with me, since this should be familiar to us. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise.
You can leave that up there. I don't mind. Leave that up there a second, Paul. Thank you. So thank you, Paul, for doing that. Look at this verse and notice at the very beginning how Christ-centered this verse is. You're all the sons of God. How? Through faith in Christ Jesus. It's Christ-centered. For all of you who were baptized into Christ, again, it's Christ-centered. And in being baptized into Christ, you've clothed yourselves with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free man. There's neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. Lord willing, tonight we'll look more in a big picture way at Galatians 3, 15 through 29. Most of our focus this morning will be on verses 26 and 27. A very simple lesson this morning on those passages. But you notice how Christ is mentioned in each of those verses. We're the sons of God through faith in Christ. We're baptized into Christ. And in baptism, we put on Christ or clothed ourselves with Christ. In Christ, we are all one. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. And if you belong to Christ, those who are baptized into Christ, who put on Christ in baptism, they belong to Christ, and then they are heirs according to the promise. Something we'll see more about, Lord willing, this evening. And so that highlights, the first slide simply highlights those points, but I thought just looking at the verse, which you all seem to know well, and I'm thrilled about, that verse highlights Christ. Now, within that context, let's see the specifics of this verse. The Bible says in verse 26, for you're all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So you're the sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Are we all sons of God? In a very real sense, the answer to that question is yes. We are all His children. We are all His sons because God is our maker and He has made us one, made all men from all nations and all languages. He has made them one, as Acts 17, verses 26 and 27 state. We are created in the image of God. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Genesis 9 and verse 5. So in a very real sense, we're all the sons of God. After Acts 17 talks about what God has done in creation, notice what He said in verse 29. He said, being then the children of God, Some of your versions have in verse 29, being then the offspring of God. But because we are created by God, because we are created in His image, we are His children, we are His offspring. So in a sense, everyone is God's children, whether Jew or Greek, whether male or female, whether bond or free, whether in Jesus or not. Yet, there is a special sense which this passage talks about, which we are sons of God, which most of the New Testament focuses on when it speaks of God's people as His children. In John 1, verses 11 and 12, the Bible says that Jesus came to His own, but His own did not receive Him. But as many as did receive Him, He gave the right to become children of God. Now that shows us that this idea of being children of God or sons of God, offspring of God, is used in a special sense. While all of us could be described as God's children via creation, there is a special sense, and the sense of Galatians 3:26, where it is only those who have been recreated in Christ who are sons of God. Recreated, new creatures, as 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, and being born again, as John 3, verse 3 says, you're all the sons of God. How are you the sons of God? The text emphasizes that you are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3, the epistle to the Galatians, has focused much attention on faith. You're all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. But in Galatians 3:27 is the only mention of baptism in this epistle. You're all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For this word connects what was said in verse 26 with what will be said in verse 27. For all of you who were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. You're all the sons of God. You become sons of God through faith in Christ. For as many of you or all of you, and the word all of you, the word all is used both in verse 26 and verse 27 in the New American Standard Bible, but it's a different Greek word. The word in verse 26 has the sense more of all, and the word in verse 27 has more of the sense as many as have. As many of you as have been baptized in Christ have put on Christ. One writer said this. From Paul's references, it is clear that baptism is not an optional extra in the Christian life. Paul would not have contemplated the phenomena of an unbaptized Christian. Now look at that verse and see if that statement stands up to this verse. It is those, all those, who are the sons of God by faith in Christ, as many as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Baptized into Christ. That type of expression is used in Romans chapter 6 in verses 3 and 4. Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. Let's just see the words that are used. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. We want to come back to that expression in just a moment. We're baptized into Christ. That same preposition translated into here in Galatians 3 and verse 27 is also used in Matthew 28 in verse 19, where we're baptized into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. What's the significance of that phrase? What's the significance of this idea? But in being baptized into Christ, in baptism, we clothe ourselves with Jesus Christ. The Bible talks in Isaiah 61 in verse 10 about God clothing us with garments of salvation. And truly, there's a rich Old Testament background for this idea of clothing representing what God makes us and the character we possess. But the Bible says in being baptized into Christ, we have clothed ourselves with Jesus. Now, there are other points in our spiritual life where we put on Jesus and clothe ourselves with Jesus. This kind of language is used, for example, when the Bible is calling us to put aside the deeds of darkness and to walk in the light in Romans 13, verses 12 through 14. The Bible tells us, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We do that as we make moral decisions to abstain from wrong and to do right. But we also put on Jesus. We also clothe ourselves in Jesus in baptism. The sons of God through faith are those who've been baptized into Christ, who've clothed themselves with Christ as if he is the apparel that they wear. Now, I want to make some simple points that I think this text shows us about baptism. I ask you to think about these points. For many of you, you have thought about it, and this will be a refresher. For those of you who haven't contemplated this subject, we beg that you listen and consider not what we say, but what God is saying on this subject. One of the things that's striking to me is to see the connection between faith and baptism. The connection between faith and baptism. We're the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ. Now, this whole chapter of Galatians 3 has emphasized that we're not justified by works of the law, but by faith in Christ Jesus. We'll say a little bit more about that in a moment. And truly, this places baptism on the side not of works of the law, but of faith. For you're all the sons of God through faith in Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. So that's one thing that we see stressed in Galatians 3, verses 26 and 27. But also, I would say that baptism is pictured as an event that brings us into intimacy with Jesus. You're baptized into Christ. The preposition which is used here, which is translated into, as one writer says skillfully, it denotes movement into some space, physical or figurative. Movement into a space. And they are pictured as being baptized into Christ. Now, there are some striking statements in Galatians about the intimacy between the believer and Jesus. Look at Galatians 2:20. Well, maybe I don't need to look at it. Maybe you don't need to look at it because that was our memory verse last month. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. There is an intimacy involved in that statement that my tongue is not able to express adequately. Christ lives in me. The same kind of language is used in Galatians 4:19. In Galatians 4:19, Paul said, "My children, with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you." Christ lives in us. Christ is formed in us. But here, this text in Galatians 3, verse 27, speaks of us entering into Christ. And it's a way to speak of an intimacy, of a relationship. Certainly, what brings us into such intimacy is important. You're all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Christ is the very apparel that we put on. It is often the case today that when a person expresses their desire to be baptized into Christ, to be immersed into Christ, they go back to a room and they take off the clothes that they're wearing and they put on some new clothes, clothes they didn't bring here. The idea is they want the clothes that they wore here to be dry. And they take off their clothes they're wearing, put on other garments in order to be immersed, to be baptized into Christ in these clothing, this clothing. But all of that is a picture of something happening on a much deeper and more profound level. Because when we are baptized into Christ, we are in a sense putting off the old man, as Romans 6 says, and we are being buried and raised to walk in newness of life. We are putting on Christ, taking off our old garments of sin and putting on Jesus and clothing ourselves with him. Isn't that what the passage says? Certainly, in this one mention of baptism in Galatians, the one mention shows us how significant, how important it is. It is important for intimacy with Christ. And baptism is also a picture of our unity. Now, we focused mainly on 26 and 27, but let's look at 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. And much that has been written in this epistle of Galatians is reflective of the controversy that existed in Paul's world between Jew and Greek. But in Jesus, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. Now think about that difference. Sometimes in the early church, a person might be the slave of his master, and they came to services and they worshiped together. While in daily life, the slave did what the master asked, took care of the master's needs. They come to the place of God and they are all one. In Christ, there is neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female. There's neither, for you're all one in Christ. Now, we have connected baptism and unity just because it's mentioned in this context. But let's look at a verse. Let's look at a verse that specifically ties the idea of baptism to this kind of unity. In 1 Corinthians 12, in verses 12 and 13, the Bible says, even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. In our human bodies, there are many different members that make it up, but it's all one body. Verse 13. For by one Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:13, by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we're all made to drink of one Spirit. Do you see how there, baptism into one body is so specifically tied to our unity, mentioning two of the three groups that are mentioned here in Galatians chapter 3 in verse 28. Baptism is a display of our unity in Christ. And the Bible says, if you belong to Christ, well, who are those who belong to Christ? Is it too much to say in verse 29 that those who belong to Christ are those who have exercised faith in Christ Jesus so to be baptized into Christ and clothe themselves with Christ? If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants and heirs according to the promise. Now, I have on the projector 1 Corinthians 1, verses 10 through 13. 1 Corinthians 1:10-13. That is a passage where some say, I am of Paul and I am of Cephas. Remember that passage? And Paul said, if you claim to be, I am of Paul. If you say, I am of Paul, doesn't that imply two things? Doesn't that imply that Paul was crucified for you and that you were baptized in Paul's name? If you belong to Paul, if you're of Paul, those two things need to be true. Paul was crucified for you and you were baptized into his name. If we claim to be of Christ, doesn't that mean we're saying that Christ was crucified for us and we were baptized into his name? I looked at a lot of good sources this week. Good sources who enlightened me on many things. And yet, when I come to Galatians 3, 26 and 27, I am reminded of how I must read critically. I must read, not accepting everything I read, but just looking at Scripture and say and ask, is what they are saying accurately representing Scripture? Is what they are saying speaking, enlightening me on the use of this Scripture, or going in a direction that they are disavowing Scripture? Several of those that I looked at would make this argument. Throughout the book of Galatians, Paul has told the Gentile Christians that they don't need to be circumcised. So now when we come to baptism, it could not be that Paul is simply replacing one physical act, circumcision, with another physical act of baptism. And so they discount what the text tells us about the connection between faith and baptism, the connection between baptism and intimacy with Christ. It's all thrown out the window because that's a physical act. When Jesus died on the cross, as Tim was talking about earlier, that is a physical act. And there were people in the New Testament, but that was just too much for them. And they said, well, Christ didn't really have a body. He just appeared to have a body. And you see that talked about in 1 John 4, verses 1 through 3. 2 John, verse 7. Any spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. That was a physical act. And we do other physical acts in service to God. This morning, as we have sung, as we have partaken of the Lord's Supper together, as we have given to the Lord from what He has blessed us with, all those are physical acts. Is something discounted just because it's physical? Is the only reason that Paul told the Gentile Galatian Christians you don't need to be circumcised is because it was physical? That's not right at all. It's striking to me that this text in baptism, this text on baptism, appears in a context that has emphasized the centrality of the cross of Christ. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Christ has been set forth as crucified, Galatians 3:1, and Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Do we believe in salvation via the cross of Christ, via the death of Christ? Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is why we partake of the Lord's Supper on every first day of the week. We believe that is absolutely true. And in this chapter where he has emphasized the centrality of Christ, he emphasizes the importance of baptism. In this chapter where he has emphasized that salvation is by faith and salvation is not by works of the law, in this chapter in Galatians 3, he has stressed the importance of baptism, that you're all baptized into Christ and you've clothed yourselves with Christ in baptism. He uses that language in a chapter where he has emphasized that salvation is not by works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, there are people here at different places, and I don't know where everyone is. some may have questioned the importance of baptism at all. What place does it fit? Maybe you're just coming with questions. Where does it fit into our picture? Maybe some of the things we've said are your objections. Maybe it is you thought, seems like baptism is a work of man. Well, just read Galatians 3, and I ask you to think about it. And I would ask you to, if you want to keep going further, to read Colossians 2, verses 9 through 12 and 9 through 14. Is it God who's working in baptism, or is it us? There are many who boldly proclaim the death and resurrection of Jesus, who can sometimes express it much more eloquently than I can, who seem to falter when it comes to this subject. But again, I just ask you, look at the text, read Galatians. What part does baptism play? It seems like to me the statement that I read at the first, Paul would not have contemplated the phenomena of an unbaptized Christian, seems so true. Because as many as have become sons of God through faith, these are the ones who've been baptized into Christ and clothed themselves with Christ. Now, our basic problem is sin. That's dealt with in Galatians 3, 22 and 23. We'll talk more about that tonight and apologize that I should have mentioned much of that earlier. Our problem is sin. We need forgiveness of sins. What role does baptism play in that picture? Acts 2:38 says baptism is for remission of sins. Acts 22:16 says the same. Friend, if you see your need of sin, you see your sin and your need of the Savior, your need of forgiveness, if you want intimacy with Christ, to step into a relationship with Him, we invite you to do as Peter said to those people in Acts 2, repent and be baptized for forgiveness of sins as we stand and sing.